time. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Heir of salvation. Think about these words. Heir of salvation, the purchase of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask for Your anointing right now. Lord, I ask that You would enable me to deliver the message that You gave me, Lord, for Your people. May we hear it, Lord. May we receive it. May we leave here closer to You and changed. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a song. Amen. What a song that Fanny Crosby wrote. And I want to talk to you this morning about assurance. Blessed assurance. Assurance that comes from knowing Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. Knowing that you are the heir of salvation, the purchase of God, that you are born of His Spirit, and hallelujah, washed in His blood. What power having assurance in Christ can give you? One man wrote that when he was settled and steadfast about his salvation, he was bold as a lion for Christ. But if that hope became eclipsed, he became fearful and afraid about his salvation, and he was then disqualified for service. Many are disqualified for service because they were continually doubting their own salvation. It's hard to tell others about salvation when you're unsure about your own. Amen? But when we know it, when we know that we know that we know that we know that we know,
amen.
That is blessed assurance. Having confidence, having that knowing, that blessed assurance, that peace in your soul is like a glimpse of heaven. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Have you tasted of it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let me ask you this morning, do you have assurance? Do you have that blessed assurance that Fanny Crosby was talking about? Are you at peace concerning your soul? Do you have confidence of your salvation? Blessed assurance. D.L. Moody tells the following antidote. After John Wesley had been preaching for some time, someone said to him, "Are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation?" "Well," he answered, "Jesus Christ died for the whole world." "Yes, we all believe that, but are you sure that you are saved?" Wesley replied that he was sure that the provision had been made for his salvation. "But are you sure, Wesley, that you are saved?" It went like an arrow to his heart. He had no rest or power until that question was settled. Men and women go month after month, year after year, without power because they do not know their standing in Jesus Christ. They are not sure of their own footing for eternity. I want to tell you this morning, it's important that we know it. It is important that we have that assurance. How can we know it? Where does it come from? Number one, assurance is produced by faith.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:11 and 12 says this, "According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence." How? "Through faith in Him." So it comes from faith. It comes from knowing what God has to say about it. And we find that in His Word. It comes from knowing what God has to say with it and believing it. If God says you're forgiven, you are forgiven. We need not doubt. If we would just believe what God said, we would have assurance. Does he not say that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Is that what it says? We have His word on it. An elderly man said to H.A. Ironside, "I will not go unless I know that I'm saved, or else know it's hopeless to seek and be sure of it. I want a definite witness, something that I cannot be mistaken about." Ironside replied, "Suppose you had a vision of an angel who told you your sins were forgiven. Would that be enough to rest on?" He replied, "Yes, I think it would. An angel should be right." Ironside continued, "But suppose on your deathbed Satan came and said, 'I was that angel, transformed to deceive you.' What would you say?" The man was speechless. Ironside then told him that God has given us something more dependable than the voice of an angel. He has given us His Son, who died for our sins, and He has testified in His own word that if we trust in Him, all our sins are gone.
Amen.
Did God say it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Is it settled in your soul?
Yes.
Do you have that assurance? Ironside also read 1 John 5:13 that says, "You may know that you have eternal life."
Lord.
Not hope, not guess, not wonder. You may know it. You may know it. Thank you, Lord. Then he said, "Is that not enough to rest on? It is a letter from heaven expressly to you." God's Spirit used that to bring assurance to the man's heart. Do you have that assurance? Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you believe what His Word testifies to? We can have assurance when we trust in Christ's finished work at Calvary. Amen? How many know that Jesus completed His mission?
Amen.
He completed what He came here to do. Thank you, Lord. He didn't do the job halfway. He paid the price in full. And you all remember it. He exclaimed, "It is finished." Amen. Paul knew assurance. 1 Timothy 1:12. He said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that what I have committed to Him until that day." That's powerful. Paul said, "Are you persuaded? Have you believed? I am persuaded that He is able." How many know He'll get you through?
Yes.
He saved you. He'll get you through. As long as you stay with Him, He is able. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Oh, we need to be persuaded. Amen. Secondly, our assurance is made full by hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 19. 11 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Verse 19 says, "This hope we have," listen, "as an anchor of the soul." Praise the Lord. "Both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." Oh, I'm glad for an anchor of the soul.
Amen.
That's assurance. That's confidence. With that, we can have boldness. With that, we can be persuaded. Amen. An anchor of the soul holds it in place, not moving. Steadfast. Like a tree planted by the waters. Amen. "I shall not be moved." anchored to the soul. Praise God. Both sure. Are you sure? And steadfast. Again, not moving. Steadfast. Straight. And which enters the presence behind the veil. Our hope for salvation will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Redemption is coming.
Glory.
And this hope is the anchor to our soul, sure and steadfast. Is that not blessed assurance? Thirdly, our assurance comes through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 19 through 21 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness," you see it? "Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God." The results of having assurance. You know, I asked you several times and I didn't hear a response. Do you have that assurance?
Amen.
You know, there's a reason I believe that God gave me this message. Because I'm thinking maybe someone doesn't have that assurance. And it can also build up those of us who have it. Amen? So I really want you to ask yourself this morning. I really want you to ask, do I have that assurance? Am I sure? Am I steadfast? Am I persuaded? Again, the results of this assurance is boldness. Boldness to enter the presence of God. Hallelujah. It means to enter God's presence openly and freely with confidence. And He said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to do that, we go boldly before the throne with boldness and with confidence. Why? Because we know that He will do what He said He would do. And we can have confidence in that. We don't need to confess our sins and ask God to forgive us and then go away wondering if we've been forgiven. Amen? Hallelujah. It means knowing God, that we can come boldness to enter the presence of God. It means knowing God personally and intimately. I'm so glad that we can have a relationship with God. Amen? Again, it's not about hoping and guessing and, well, I think the Bible's right. You can know it. And that's how we know it, because we know God. Brother Louis Charlevoix, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the things of the Spirit. And you know, when you've experienced that, the things of the Spirit, or more particularly here, when you've experienced that knowing God, no one can take that away from you. And the way Louis said, he goes, it's too late. The atheist that believes in evolution can try to give you so-called scientific reasons why there's no God, but it's too late.
Amen.
I already know Him. I know what the truth is. His Spirit witnesses. Witnesses. What's a witness do? Tells the truth about what has happened. Amen? Witnesses with our Spirit. It's too late. You can't take that away from you, from me. Anyone else?
Amen.
You've got it. We know Him. It is being able to fellowship and commune with God. We come boldness to His presence. Knowing that we can come to Him not only with our sins, but with our needs. We can come to Him with our problems. We can come to Him with our failures. We can come to Him with our victories. Because we have that one-on-one relationship with God. Because we can enter with boldness. Thank the Lord for the price He paid. Amen. It is also knowing God's guidance and direction. Have you known it? You know what it's like for God to guide your path, to direct you. And then you know you're doing what's right. Amen? Does God help with the hard decisions in life? Yes, He does. And it's because we know Him. And no one can take that away from us. Thank you, Lord. It is knowing. You know, see the key word here. We're talking a lot about knowing. About knowing. Not being unsure, but knowing. That gives us that blessed assurance. It is knowing that because of Christ, you are acceptable to God. How many know that Jesus is the reason that we can be reconciled? We were separated from God because of our sin. He is holy and can have nothing to do with sin. But Jesus came and bridged the gap when He died on the cross for us so that we can have the boldness to enter the presence of God. So that it is possible then that we could enter the presence of God. And knowing that gives you assurance. Thank you, Lord. And how is all this accomplished? Verse 19 says, by the blood of Christ. The shedding of Christ's blood opened up a new and living way for us to approach God. It says that in verse 20. A new and living way. A way that opens up the holiest place of all. Note the reference in verse 19 where it says, the holiest. This refers to the Holy of Holies, God's dwelling place. This was an area of the temple so sacred that only the high priest could enter it, and only once a year. And he had to carefully prepare to do this. Everything had to be just right. If it wasn't, the penalty was death. How many know that might be a little scary? That if you didn't do everything just right, you didn't wash just right, you didn't perform the sacrifices just right, that the penalty was death. Thanks be to God that we can enter His presence without that worry. That we can come with boldness into the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. He had to be carefully prepared. Leviticus 16:2. I encourage you, listen, I've been reading through the Old Testament. We've read Leviticus and Numbers, and there's so much detail in there. And you really get an idea of what was necessary. And I talked about this last time we preached, and how everything at the sacrifices and everything had to be just right. And I couldn't help but wonder, did I miss a blemish? Because the sacrifice had to be without blemish. Did I miss something? Did God really accept my sacrifice? Was everything just right? But we don't have to deal with that. Because Jesus dealt with it. And we can come with boldness into His presence. The penalty was death if he wasn't properly prepared. Leviticus 16:2. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Now that's just one example from Leviticus of the instructions to the high priest to be able to enter the Holy of Holies lest he die. Note again the reference of the veil in verse 20 and in the verse in Leviticus that I read. At any time into the holy place inside the veil. And that veil for us was Jesus' flesh. The veil symbolized that man was cut off from God. Because of our sin, we are not acceptable to God, and we could not be in His presence. That's why the priest had to go through the washings and the purifications and the sacrifice so that his sin would be covered so he could be in the presence of God. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. But again, Jesus bridged that gap. Jesus was that new and living way that allows us to go into God's presence. And to be acceptable to God because, yes, we too need to be washed. But we are washed in the blood of Jesus. And His Word promises that if we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we'll be cleansed from all our sin. That we'll be whiter than snow. What great and precious promises. Do you have assurance in that? Do you read that? And are you sure? We can be. Again, you can know that you have eternal life. As long as the veil was there, man could not approach God. We were separated from Him. The veil was a problem. But the message of verse 20 is good news. Because God has torn the veil through the flesh of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We read this in the account of the crucifixion in Mark chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed His last. Then the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. With boldness we can enter God's presence. Not through sacrifices, not through a human priest, but on our own. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." That's why we can come boldly, because it's a throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Hallelujah. Anyone else excited about that? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord that we can come boldly with full assurance, with blessed assurance, and that we can find mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Are you thankful for it this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege it was for me last week. I was out with the team ministering to the homeless. And we feed them and we provide clothing for them and give them things that are kind of, you know, they live outside. You know, we take it for granted, our houses. Amen? And it's a rough life for them. And we provide these physical needs. Why? Because it opens the door for us to meet their spiritual needs. And sometimes it's a little frustrating. Because, you know, we've been dealing with someone for years. And we've seen no fruit. We've seen no growth. We've seen no indication that they're any closer to the Lord. And one of the gentlemen we've been dealing with for years, last week, he came boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus. To find grace and mercy and forgiveness in his time of need. Hallelujah. He finally realized, the light finally came on. He realized that he was a sinner who needed a Savior.
Hallelujah.
And he called on the Lord that day, repenting of his sins and asking forgiveness. And guess what he found there? Salvation.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Word says that some will sow, and some will water, and some will reap. Don't ever get discouraged in your witnessing if you don't see the fruit. Because you don't know what God's doing on the inside. And we've sown the seed. And we've watered that seed. And last week, we got to reap the harvest. Because God gave the increase.
Amen.
And it was such a blessing. My neighbor Wayne started to talk to him. And he said, "Do you remember last summer I was talking to you about Jesus and about getting saved? Have you thought about that?" He says, "I mean, you want to talk about a harvest? It was ready to fall off the vine." That's all he said to him. He said, "Have you thought about it?" He said, "Yes, I have. I've been thinking about it a lot." Wayne said, "Are you ready to do something about it?" He said, "Yes, let's do it right now." Thank you, Jesus. His name is Jimmy. And I would appreciate it if you would be praying that Jimmy would know that blessed assurance. That he would know the full assurance of his salvation. Things are looking up for him. He's got a job. It was part-time, now it's gone full-time. And pretty soon he thinks he's going to be able to get off the streets. Pray for him that he'll have strength to avoid temptation. He's around people that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And sometimes that, in the past anyway, that would drag him down. And he was already talking, asking. He has a little plywood shack that he built that he lives in. But he wants to leave that and go back to living in a tent so he can get away from the bad influence. So pray for Jim. That he'll be strong. And that he'll grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And know, without a shadow of a doubt, that blessed assurance that I'm talking to you about this morning. Thanks be to Jesus, who is that new and living way to God. Praise the Lord that we can have assurance in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 21 tells us that we have a high priest, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. The human high priest had to be cleansed before entering the Holy of Holies because, like all humans, he was a sinner. But the high priest of this new and living way is perfect.
Amen.
He is sinless. He is the perfect priest. He was the perfect sacrifice for us to wash away all of our sins and to cause us to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Romans 6:10 says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God." I want to tell you this morning, he paid the price once for all. The perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And we can have assurance that the price has been paid.
Amen.
We broke the law. He paid the penalty. And we can have assurance, blessed assurance, in our high priest. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:24 through 27 says this, "But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. "Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Let that sink in. How many know Jesus is praying for you? How many know Jesus is standing up for you? He lives always to make intercession for us. Does that give you assurance? Hallelujah. I appreciate it when you pray for me. But let me tell you. All right? Knowing that he prays for me, assurance. Glory to God. Because you might forget. I might forget. I forget sometimes. I've said it before, but I always, when someone asks for prayer, I always try to do it right there. I don't care if we're in a grocery store. I don't care where we're at. You ask for prayer, I'm probably going to lay hands on you and pray for you right there. So you better be ready to run away if you're going to be embarrassed. Amen? Because I know my mind. I have a terrible memory. Oh, yes, I'll pray for you, brother. I'll be praying about that, and I forget all about it. And then, did you ever do that? Anybody? Be honest. And then you run into him a week later. "Hey, praise the Lord. Thanks for praying for me. God really came through." And you're like, He always lives to make intercession for us. Let's look at our high priest a little more in verse 26. "For such a high priest," this Jesus, "such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." That's my Jesus. "Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself."
Glory.
How glorious is it that the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, who spoke it into existence, the great and mighty one, would die for you and for me. He was that perfect sacrifice, and he laid his life down willingly for you and for me. Somebody give God glory this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Once for all. He doesn't need to be sacrificed over and over again. We don't need to prepare sacrifices over and over again. It was once for all. It is finished. Verse 24 tells us that he has an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus Christ lives forever. And he can provide our access to God forever. We can have assurance knowing that he continues forever. The unchangeable priesthood. He is always there for us, and his grace and mercy are always available. Aren't you glad that the Word says where sin abounds, grace so much more abounds? How many know there's always enough grace?
Yes.
It's there to cover us. Thank you, Lord. Always available. Verse 25, I love this. He saves to the uttermost. You like the sound of that?
Yes.
Means to be saved completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. Talk about assurance. Saved to the uttermost, and he's able to do it. When you are saved, you are completely saved. When you are saved from sin, death, and condemnation, you don't need to live in that any longer. You don't need to live not being assured Not knowing if you're okay. Not living under condemnation because you're no longer condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation.
Hallelujah.
No condemnation. You don't need to live in that. And I think there are people here today that are living in that and you don't have assurance. And I want to tell you, please hear me, that you can have it. You are saved if you've repented of your sins, if you've asked God to forgive you, if you surrendered your life to Him, you are saved. Please hear that this morning. You are saved to live with God eternally. This life is not all there is. The Bible tells us that this life is but a vapor. It's like the grass of the field. It's here one day, it's burned up the next. It's but a vapor of steam. But eternity, hallelujah, you were saved for eternity to be with Him and to ever praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love when we have praise and worship here at church, but I can't wait till that day. Oh, hallelujah. With all the saints of God praising Him continually because He is worthy to be able to shout, "Worthy is the Lamb! Worthy is the Lamb!" To finally see Him face to face and to say, "Worthy is the Lamb!"
Hallelujah.
You're saved to be a citizen of heaven. And I want to tell you this morning, again, if you've repented of your sins, if you've come to Jesus for salvation, if you're trusting in Him, you have the assurance of heaven as though you're already there. Oftentimes when we're witnessing, you know, we'll try to get people to think, you're not promised tomorrow. None of us know if we'll be here tomorrow. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you may not have tomorrow. And what a privilege it is when that moment when someone comes to Christ to be able to deliver to them the good news to say, you're going to heaven. If something horrible happens to you today, you're going to heaven. It's settled. You can have assurance. Hallelujah. Our assurance comes from knowing who Christ is, that perfect, sinless high priest. And knowing what He has done. He has paid the price in full. It is finished. He is our great high priest. And He always lives to make intercession for us. That's who He is. Amen? That's what He does. And this gives us great assurance. Oh, how verse 26 tells us about Jesus. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. Isaiah 9 verse 6 tells us that His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Someone get excited about Jesus here this morning. He is the Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come. He is the Creator of all things. He is the upholder of all things. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the way, the truth, and the life, the living Word, the Word of God, the Word that was made flesh, the image of God, the brightness of His glory, the Messenger, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Shepherd of the sheep, the Branch, the True Vine, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World.
Amen.
The Bright and Morning Star, the Son of Righteousness.
Oh.
Are you getting the message about Jesus this morning? He is the Rock of Ages, the Chief Cornerstone, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Deliverer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
That's who Jesus is.
Amen.
And this one, the one and only, this one that I just spoke of, in all of His greatness and all of His glory, offered Himself once for all that we might be saved. So I ask you this morning, can you say with Fanny Crosby, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine?
Amen.
Is He yours?
Yes.
Do you know Him?
Yes.
Do you have confidence and assurance in Him?
Yes.
Bill Hybels wrote, if you knew that in 15 minutes you would have to stand in judgment before the Holy God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you say to yourself, I don't know what God's going to say? If you had to stand before God and find out your eternal destiny 15 minutes from now, would you say, I don't know what God's going to say? Will it be welcome home, child? Or depart from me, I never knew you. You see, it's important that we know Him. And in knowing Him, we have this assurance. This blessed assurance. Ask everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know it's getting close for time to go, but please listen. This is important. So I want to ask you this morning, how is it with you? Can you say this morning, with all confidence, with all assurance, Jesus is mine? Have you made Him your Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? Can you say, Jesus is mine? Can you say this morning that I am an heir of salvation? That I am the purchased of God? If you're here this morning and you can't say that, I want you to slip your hand up. I can't say, Jesus is mine. I don't know. I don't have assurance. Is there one? I've not been saved. I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Is there one? It's important that we ask, amen? I'm glad there was an altar call the day I came into this church 23 years ago. I'm glad that there was an altar call that I was able to respond to. Is there one? You say this morning, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't have that assurance. Because I want to say to you this morning that if you cannot say yes, if you haven't raised your hand and you're holding back, Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if you'll just open the door and let me come in, I will. You don't have to pray at an altar at church. You don't have to pray at your seat in church. You don't have to pray with a preacher. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, pray to Him in your own words. Lord, I repent of my sins. That means you turn from your sins. And I ask you to forgive me. And I believe that you died for me and you rose again. And I make you Lord of my life. And I will follow you the rest of my life. Let me tell you something. You can have assurance. You can be saved. Jesus is waiting to give you that assurance. The way to the Father is open, thanks to what Jesus did. And you can find grace, mercy, and forgiveness. So if you do have that blessed assurance this morning, praise the Lord. Thank Him for what He has done and continue to walk in it. When doubts and fears come, remind yourself of who Jesus is and what He has done, and let that blessed assurance swallow up the doubts and the fears. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Over.